It's Friday, and I have two favorite people right here in the studio. One is Education Director at the Gilmore Keyboard Festival, Adam Shoemaker. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Kara.
And special guest, Alpen Hong, pianist extraordinaire, who will be running around West Michigan, giving concerts and sharing music, especially with our youngest citizens in West Michigan this next week. Alpen, it's great to have you back in many senses.
Thank you so much, Kara. It is an absolute thrill to be here.
For listeners who aren't aware, Alpen Hong, your early childhood was right here, Kalamazoo, Battle Creek area, went to school here, and started your early training here. I don't even know where you live now because I still consider you a Kalamazooan. So yes. Where did you fly from to be back here to perform at the festival?
Well, I live in Riverside, California. So that's I am a California boy, which is where I went immediately after moving from here back in 1989. But as I tell my audience, I was born in a very exotic place. It's called New Jersey. But my parents moved here after the birth of my little brother, and we settled here in Kalamazoo and went to Kalamazoo Academy, St. Augustine, then moved to Battle Creek shortly thereafter, third grade. So it's really coming home right now.
So what are some of your memories of growing up?
Oh, my goodness. Well, just walking right here to the offices of WMUK, I passed Miller Auditorium. And as the kids say, the feels hit me in my chest because perhaps my most vivid memory of childhood is playing here with the KSO at the age of 10 in 1986 for 3,000 kids. So the fact that I'm coming back as a professional pianist and I'm still playing for kids, it's amazing. And I was just remarking to Adam as walking, you know, those three dancing statues in the middle of the plaza.
Right.
Those statues actually fill me with a sense of dread because what those represented for me was all that building where they're in front of was where all the kid auditions for symphony or the little violin competitions and piano competitions were held. So I remember it, those things, as soon as you see them, I was struck by like, oh my God, that competition feeling. And you would see all the little competitors you had to beat and their horrible parents out in the plaza. So that's what that feels that it has for me coming back.
Don't they look like those horrible ghost kings from the Lord of the Rings?
Absolutely! Oh, the Nazgul. Yeah. Absolutely they do.
Yeah, yeah. And side note, anyway.
Lovely. They're lovely.
So it's wonderful for us to have you back here.
Thank you.
It's kind of weird to go away for a long time, though, and then come back and see that, you know, there are things that are the same. They've just gotten older, and
yes,
your perspective has completely changed. And it's a common experience for all humans to realize one's own changes and growth when they've left a place living in their memory.
Right.
But then the reality is different when you get back.
Well, I was just remarking to Adam that when we were passing the tower, Sprout Tower, as a kid, I thought that was the tallest building I would ever imagine seeing.
Ever.
Ever. And I remember taking the elevator to the top and being like, my goodness, I'm on top of the world. And now it's what, 10, 11 stories, maybe?
10.
10, you know, at the most.
It's,
you know,
double digits.
And now I was living in Manhattan for 11 years, you know, and just the perspective of what it is as a child, but that sweetness of the way that I remember it as a kid. So speaking of sweetness, like, I can't wait to go back to the Boone's Air Bakery, which is the other thing that I remember. Obviously, they've moved locations, but that was my reward for doing well in my lessons back then. So perhaps I'll try to find a way to reward myself for a good performance later this week.
My guest, Alpen Hong, will be appearing many times during the festival, a pre-concert time that starts this Saturday in Battle Creek. Is this an open concert for anyone?
Yeah, many of these concerts are open public events. We try to make the Gilmore Family Concerts accessible for anyone. There's no age limits or restrictions. And also, I think, you know, no matter if you're, you know, just born or, you know, a grandparent, you're going to enjoy Alpen's performances. So, all super high quality, but also super fun.
Right. Well, I'll say it's a morning program at 10:30 a.m. at Willard Library in Battle Creek is the first concert.
Yeah.
But the full schedule, and I highly recommend, because there are 8 or 12 here that I could see, go to the website, thegilmore.org, and you will find Alpin's schedule there. Not only there are places around to haunt you, but there are people as well, teachers,
yes,
friends.
Yes, old teachers, old classmates, perhaps, that I have not seen in decades. Every time, I unfortunately have not been back to Michigan as many times as I wanted, but certainly the last time I was here as a guest of the Gilmore, performing with the BSO, my first piano teacher ever came, Peggy Hagel, showed up, and another, who was also a Kalamazoo resident, Annie Leong, came here. And like I said, that idea of seeing these people that were angels for me when I was young is really meaningful in a way. Obviously, it's always special to play on the road, but to play at home is something that I'm really looking forward to this week. And playing for kids that were me, right? You know, to play for 10, 11, 12-year-olds that would have been me, and hopefully to be able to influence them the way that the great Gilmore artists that I witnessed at that age were able to do is an amazing opportunity.
One thing that stands out about your career is your commitment to directly influencing, and not just in a "I'm an artist and I'll leave you with my music" kind of thing, but making sure that those connections are directly made. You've designed programs, you've given speeches, TED Talks. This is clearly more than just about you being an artist.
Yeah, even when I was studying at the Juilliard School and the very beginning of my career, I was looking at the audience that I was playing for and realizing that I believe that as performing artists, especially in the classical artists, we need to invest in the audience of the future if it's going to be there anymore. Otherwise, we'll just end up playing for each other, which is fine and great. But I really feel that we have this unprecedented opportunity, especially even with all the technological advancements and tools and recording and YouTube and all these things, to be able to show what great performance is, to show just how different it is to experience live entertainment. I was remarking to Adam as he picked me up from the airport yesterday that what I believe is the challenge of me as a live performer is that I am going up against the Avengers and Netflix.
Oh,
right?
That's daunting.
It is. And yet I am convinced, and I hope to be able to communicate that in the performances this week, that those live performances that you experience as a child and, you know, as a developing adult, stick with you in ways that pre-rendered entertainment cannot, because they happen in time, and the emotional impact they can have, and the fact that you're experiencing with other people in your community, that you can have these conversations with your community that you might not be able to have even after a movie theater. You know, after the experience of seeing a great movie, right? You go up and maybe you talk about it with your friend afterwards, how great it was. But imagine actually having that shared experience with everybody in the theater, and that you would see them at breakfast the next day and be like, oh my goodness, you know, what was that concert like last night? How did that impact you? How might it change your life? And I'm really convinced of that ability, because it happened to me when I was a kid. I credit those experiences with making me the pianist that I am today.
There's always several individuals in any audience that are experiencing something quite profound, especially young people.
Right.
With the newness of it, but also the rightness of something maybe unfamiliar, but there's something so right about hearing a great performer play great music. It goes beyond being a child, too. You feel like you're an adult when you are a child, when you hear music like that.
Yeah. When I look at my, especially my young audiences, I'm looking like, well, who's the next Hendrix out there? Who is the next Liberace out there? Who's the next Sinatra? Who's the next Michael Jackson? Who's the next Beatles? Who are then these young artists right now that are hopefully getting something from my performance that will inspire them to create the music that I crave of tomorrow, right? Because as much as I love remixes, I don't want to hear the same old stuff remixed over and over and over again. When I talk to, for example, classical piano students in college, I tell them, what is your story to tell? Yes, we are you're telling it through the story of, you know, these old dead European guys. But what is the reason for you to play the Chopin Fourth Ballade again, or Beethoven Pathétique again? Like, you have to, what I'm interested in is hearing the story, right? And that's what I've been geeking out, nerding out with Adam about, you know, all these latest sci-fi movies that I'm a huge fan of, Star Wars, of course, and I just watched Blade Runner last night. And it's always that the story and those movies that and music performances that don't present that are not as compelling for young people. So that's what I really hope to focus on this week, is that part of the story is about me. And literally, the concert on the 21st is literally about me. It is my autobiography enacted on stage. But the journey of what it was to be that little kid in Kalamazoo and Battle Creek, Michigan, growing up, and then to come back now as an adult and as a father myself.
We've learned that the special event on Saturday, April 21st, at the Little Theater that you just referenced, the tickets have all been sold.
It's the best problem to have, really. It's a terrible problem, but it's really the best problem.
Yeah. People can, I mean, those of us who know concert going know that you can just show up and see what happens.
And I recommend that you do. Definitely put yourself on the waiting list. Just to shamelessly plug it, it is the greatest show I've ever made. And this is the place... This is the location where it was always meant to play. Act One is set right here in Western Michigan. So it is, you will laugh, you will cry, you will understand why I still call it root beer, not root beer.
Nice. That's right. It is root beer.
It is root
well,
beer.
Well, we need to drink a little more of our lovely tea this morning. And one way we can arrange that is to play a recording from one of your albums. We have the newest one here, and I just put it right behind me. It's called Myths and Legends. And the big centerpiece of the album is the famous Pictures at an Exhibition by Modest Mussorgsky. There are 12 movements to choose from. I'm not sure where we should begin.
Well, I think playing perhaps the opening promenade theme would be nice for the morning. It is the reason why I call the album Myths and Legends, just to harken back to childhood. Do you remember the Childcraft books?
Remember the golden.
Yes, there were the golden books, the Childcraft books, the encyclopedia, all those things that no longer exist, I guess. But there was one called Myths and Legends, which is my favorite one. And the Pictures at an Exhibition is based on a series of paintings the composer saw that his friend had painted about these Russian myths and legends. And one of them, the opening promenade, is the theme. It's a huge theme in variations, this piece. And perhaps the one I would request that we play next is rather terrifying. It's the Hut on Chicken's Legs, the House of Baba Yaga the Witch. It is the penultimate one. And it is this fiery chase where a witch is streaking through the sky, shrieking and hollering.
I'm going to push back a little bit and say I'd like to
hear, maybe the Great Gate of Kiev instead.
I might like to segue from promenade, from the promenade to... I'm not sure how long the gnome is, but
oh, yes.
Speaking of old haunts, there's old castle here in this suite as well. So
yes.
I might let
that's a good one
to go there too.
That's a good one.
We'll see what happens. Right. We're live with Alpin Hong and Adam Shoemaker. And please go to thegilmore.org for a full list of Mr. Hong's appearances. They are coming up starting this Saturday. There are appearances at Plainwell Performing Arts Center, Vicksburg Performing Arts Center, Allegan Performing Arts Center, Zion Lutheran Church in Kalamazoo, Chenery Auditorium, and much more. Be sure to take a look at thegilmore.org. Music from Pictures at an Exhibition by Modest Mussorgsky. And I'm here live with pianist Alvin Hong, and we just listened to music from your recording, Myths and Legends. And Alvin, for those who just tuned in, Alvin Hong will be performing a whole series of concerts in West Michigan over the next week, and a little further on than a week, until the 28th, it looks like.
22nd.
Yeah. Adam Shoemaker, also here today from the Gilmore Keyboard Festival. And it was your work that arranged having Alvin Hong come in. Maybe we could hear your perspective on why Alvin and why this festival.
Sure. Well, Alvin actually asked me the same question last night driving back from the airport. And I'll start not with the story, but just with a quick little thing that we try to do. So the family concerts, you know, it's about connecting future audiences and unknown audiences. And so I couldn't think of a better person than Alvin because of the way he's able to communicate complex ideas or simple ideas and put them all together in a way that people understand and connect with. It's a little bit different than going to, let's say, Murray Pariah, who, you know, will not be going to that this festival, but, you know, and listening to this fantastic performer without anything in between, just the music. But Alvin is able to play at that level, but keep the audience engaged and understanding and connecting with a variety of, you know, pop culture references and knowledge about music and life in general, I would say. So it really resonates with the mission of the family concerts, is to reach all ages all the time and reach those communities that are just within and outside Kalamazoo.
This is good. I want to hear more about what exactly you're going to say and do in an Alvin Hong performance.
Well, one of the programs that I do, especially when I go out to the schools, is called Movies to Games Classically Trained. And what I do is I use movie soundtracks, TV soundtracks, video game soundtracks, the ones that all the kids know and love, such as
Freak Out Over,
whether it's Star Wars, Harry Potter, Super Mario Brothers, Zelda, to be able to connect it to the classical masterworks that inspired them and to show how that these emotions, even though they may be several hundred years old, have been translated to a new audience through these soundtracks that they know. And the emotional impact of harmonic changes and rhythmic changes. So I really try to illuminate the underpinnings of why music makes you feel the way that you do.
So you're a bit of a musicologist.
I guess so. I think that my course would probably horrify traditional musicologists everywhere. But yeah, speaking of that, I had an incredible nerd moment just a couple weeks ago. I got to have dinner with John Williams. And I absolutely died, as I'm sure everybody in here is currently doing, from Indiana Jones to Superman to E.T. to Star Wars to everything that is our childhood. I was able to sit down and have a few lines with this man and ask him, you know, who his favorite composer was, if he had an hour, which he said Beethoven, and the fact that the only technological advancement he's made in his composing is the addition of a red felt tip pen. It's still pencil and paper to this day, if you can imagine doing that. So that was fascinating. And so that sense of wonder that I got from meeting him and sitting down to him, I hope to be able to infuse that to kids, because I really am just a normal dude. I have an extraordinary job, and I've had extraordinary opportunities to be able to express my talent through my job. But at heart, I'm a kid that learned how to skateboard here in Michigan. Nintendo Entertainment System came out when I was 8. It's very hard for piano and violin to compete with Mario, Zelda, and Metroid. But I'm still that kid and a huge comic book fan. And so all of these movies, the Avengers and Justice League and all things coming, are wonderful to me. But the perspective I have on them is remembering those soundtracks that used to envelop me back in the day and make me really remember the feeling of what it was to watch, you know, say Return of the Jedi 13 times in the theater as a kid, what that meant. Of course, it's now much easier to do that through Netflix and things like that. But I think that kids can still be captivated by that feeling, and I hope to be able to communicate that through the music of Chopin and Mendelssohn and Bach.
I know that millions of people participate in music every single day, but there is often a sense of restoring love of it and retaining traditions. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to be scaremongering or anything, but some arts do get lost over the eons.
That's right.
Languages get lost. Art and classical music and practice is one that is not in any danger of being lost, and yet it seems like every performer feels the responsibility to remember the tradition and to look for new ways to keep it relevant.
The way that I think about it is that we are a couple generations removed from the time when the community would get together face to face and experience something live music, whether or not it was at school, at church, or at concert halls like Miller Auditorium. That used to be the thing to do. You would go to the theater, you experience a play, you would go to see the opera, you might see the ballet. And it's very much harder to access those things in these days, simply because I think the current generation of young parents like myself, that I had the pleasure of growing up in the culture of Western Michigan, of which that was valued. I live in a city right now of 500,000 people, but I would say that level of culture does not exist. And it's very hard for me to find those opportunities. So I don't think that kids really appreciate having entities like the Gilmore and the KSO and the Kalamazoo Youth Symphony, what a gift it is to have it in their community. And I would encourage parents to absolutely take advantage of every single opportunity that they can, because not every place has this. And it's as I've said before, it is transformative to the worldview of a young person to have the world brought to their doorstep in this way.
Alpen Hong is a featured performer at the Gilmore Keyboard Festival and will be performing multiple times over the next week. And you can find all those dates at thegilmore.org. Adam, you look like you were about to chime in with a little something.
I can't remember.
That's okay.
Just, if I can, you know, add to that, the Gilmore education programs at large really just embrace propelling and forwarding this music-going culture, this music-making culture. So it doesn't really matter, you know, at what level you're in there, but just reminding people that involving yourself in music, whether you're performing it or practicing it, playing it at home, going to concerts, is something that's valuable for everybody at every life stage. And we have to kind of refresh that sometimes because we get lost in the day-to-day and, you know, accessing the way we experience these concerts, reminding ourselves how important and how moving music can be is a really important mission of ours. And so, you know, that's, again, part all ties together with what Alpen's saying.
I just wanted to make a plug. I heard a great quote from Maurice Sendak, the nice author of Where the Wild Things Are. And somebody asked him about writing children's books. And he said, "I don't write books for children. I write books that children happen to love." And so these are not kids' concerts per se.
Yeah.
These are concerts that kids will enjoy.
Yeah.
But for those classical music lovers out there, I will be playing very serious classical works. We will be presenting it in a nice informal setting, yes, but I will be presenting them in a very formal way. This is not classical light. These pieces are very difficult, and I am going to be nervous playing them. But truly, I said, I think that this is the perfect venue and the perfect outfit for me to perform these types of programs that I do, because the Gilmore, of course, is associated with nothing but the very highest order of artistic excellence that you can find on the planet, truly. And so that idea that if you bring your child to one of these concerts, you're not going to be getting something that's dumbed down to them at all. If anything, you will be elevated by what you see.
Well, and I want to commend you for taking the issue head on of how do we make the music we love relevant and important to young people. And that's exactly what you're doing here while you're back in West Michigan. I hope you have a great time.
Already am.
you do a little better than McDonald's. I think you could feed him better than that, Adam.
Nice snack.
Well, this tea is certainly
great.
Rocket fuel. Yeah.
Listeners, please look at the website for all the dates. The first is in Battle Creek this Saturday at Willard Library. There are many other dates to look at. And the special event, Chasing Chopin, which is a completely different evening of music, that's Saturday, April 21st. It's supposedly sold out, but you can always
get on the wait list. Yeah.
Yeah, get on the wait list. Well, have a great Gilmore. Hope to see you back here soon.
Thank you so much, Kara, for having me.
Let's let's get you out of here on some fowl's legs.
Fantastic.
The Mussorgsky Pictures at an Exhibition. And stay tuned now for Detroit Symphony Orchestra coming to you live here on WMUK in about 65 seconds.